I see it all now. What we gotta do is we gotta snag that tall dude and stomp the shit out of him, and we'll find out what the hell is going on up there. Yeah, we'll lay that sucker out flat and drive a stake right through his goddamn heart.
You gotta be shitting me, man. That mother's strong.
Where he came from, nobody knows. His evil spread like a plague, destroying towns, maiming and killing. We called him the Tall Man. At first we thought he was just an undertaker. His hordes pillaged graveyards, rooted up the bodies, and spirited off the dead to a place worse than hell. We were just three friends. Jody was taken from us, turned by the Tall Man into an alien form. His younger brother Mike, I've tried to protect as he's grown. The Tall Man wants to transform him into one of his kind. My name is Reggie. I was an ice cream vendor by trade. Now, I'm a soldier. Soldier in a war against his army of the living dead.
Alright, everyone, welcome back to Master of the Universe podcast. It's Joey here with Christopher J and the Man Beast Gabriel, dude. Yeah, alright, we made it, dude. We did the franchise, dude. We did the fucking Phantasm franchise. We're doing Phantasm 5 today, Ravager. I love that name. And this film came out, was it 2016, Chris?
That is correct, October 2016.
Now. I don't know about you, Gabe. I mean, you've kind of spoke on, like, you know, growing up with Phantasm like me. When did you find out this film was coming out, and were you like me as a, you know, kind of a semi-kid or teen, whenever they were coming out, and just waiting for what it seemed like fucking 20 years, because that's almost how fucking long from part four to part five was, waiting for this film to be fucking released?
Oh, once I got wind that they were, this thing was in the works, I so got excited about it. I was like, finally, I'm going to see an ending. I want to see what's going on, who's coming back, who's not. I need to see this damn movie. I seriously got so excited. I'm looking through Fangoria horror magazines, other horror magazines, that whatever they're talking about. I'm looking on the internet. I'm trying to look up all kinds of things. My mind was blown away when they were starting to work on this thing. So yeah, I definitely got excited about this movie.
Yeah, because the way part four ends, right? Oblivion, badass name, and you got the four written in Oblivion, the same thing with Ravager, the V's the five, so I like Coscarelli's ideas here, but this is the only one that's not directed by Coscarelli. You had mentioned it, right? David Hartman.
Right.
Is he known for anything else?
Yeah, David Hartman, I was kind of curious about that, because when I was watching the darn movie, I was like, man, this thing has like a whole different view on it. It looks kind of, and so I got kind of curious about it. Just, I wanted to see like some of the actors and actresses on it. And then I saw that the director was David Hartman. I was like, who the heck is this guy? So then I started going ahead and looking through his tidbits, and I saw that he ended up doing like a whole bunch of like cartoon shows. Like, he was like a director for like these cartoon TV shows. But yeah, but I didn't realize that it wasn't Don. Maybe that was like the reasoning for the different view, or maybe certain things were the way they were in the movie. But I kid you not, when I saw part five, I was confused. I kid you not. Like, I don't think anybody should be this confused, and maybe it was just me trying to look more deeper into what it was. But seriously, part five, I was thinking, like, and I've mentioned it to you before a couple of times, I said the word spaghetti. like, that was my choice of words. I could not say mixed up. I couldn't say confused. I felt the word spaghetti was an appropriate word, because this thing was, like, mixed. Like, why is it going back and forth?
Yeah.
That's great. We're with Reggie again. I mean, we've already stuck with him, like, throughout the rest of the movies. Why not go with him again? You know, there was more action. There was a lot of the computer graphics in there. you can definitely pick that apart. But, yeah, it was... And you know what? I have two ideas. Exactly what made sense to me in this movie. But, you know, as we're going through it, we'll go ahead and touch bases on some of this stuff, but I want to hear y'all's idea, and then I'll explain, like, how this whole thing made sense to me.
It's funny that you say that, because I was going to ask you that, but I wanted to wait to do the show. And I had actually asked Chris earlier that same question, because I really wanted to know, like, this is one of those films that there's so many ways you can take what's actually going on and have your own theory on what's real or what, you know. It's just like, it's one of those films that it's like interesting to see somebody else's point of view on what they actually watch. We all watch the same film. Now, can you explain to me, you know, and like, I like to hear, like, what's that? And Chris, like, okay, I'm a dumbass, I'm stupid, you're not going to, okay. I was like, no, I want to hear what you're, and I was like, no, that's pretty much what I thought. It was, you know, pretty cool, you know, when he had told me it earlier, because he always thinks I'm coming after him. I mean, he's half right. But this film, man, I was waiting for it, because the way part four ended with Reggie going through the, you know, through the dimension port, I was like, oh, what's going to happen? They got to save Mike, and I'm waiting. And it just fucking was forever. And they were like, oh, we're going to make it. And like you're saying, Fangoria, I remember like 2004, 2005, when I got a computer, you know, being able to look on the internet and do shit like that. I was over there on like the horror movie forums and Phantasm, you know, and hearing like, oh, they're making it, it's supposed to be coming out. I'm like, dude, hell yeah, I can't wait. I'm keeping up. And it just seemed like forever, and it was like another fucking, you know, damn near 20 years. And looking into it, there were like what I've been talking about, like what it needs to be about Mike. Well, Coscarelli had an idea to make like a relaunch of a trilogy about Mike coming of age, so they would have made like a whole another kind of, you know, kind of a spin-off, but it's like the same story, but now it's like a different trilogy. And I'm like, well, they should have just done that originally, but it never came to fruition, of course. But like you said, it's like, well, we have Reggie, we've been following Reggie, why would we do something different now? And then that would have really caused confusion. But when this film starts off, man, I was like, right away, this is a much funner film than Phantasm 4, dude. So before we get into the film, Chris, deal or no deal? No, Chris, so we're going to talk about everything and why we think about, you know, whatever, but I want you to tell the fans, the millions and millions of listeners out there, dude, you know, Phantasm 5, dude. How did you take the film? Like, what if someone says, can you tell me what Phantasm 5 is about? How would you explain the film to them within like a 1 to 2 minute on how you perceived everything, dude?
It's a head trip. Like, you start with a narrative and you think you're following a story that's going on, but then the movie swerves you. It throws you for a loop. It throws you a curveball. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he's in another setting. And he's being told he's got psychological, you know, you know, as someone's, you know, 68 years old like Reggie would have been at that time, would have. So this whole movie, you're seeing these dual or sometimes, you know, trio or quattro of narratives, and you don't know what really to believe. What's a dream? What's real? What's really going on? Or is it all going on? And you don't know. But everything is just gripping.
So you're okay. So anyway, when this film starts off, like, I laugh because it like there's like a lot more action going on right away where we're following Reggie. We're like, okay, he's still looking for the tall man and all that shit, right? And he ends up stopping this jackass driving this Cuda. And I laughed when he says the whole bullshit, like, he's like, there's not too many 1971 Cudas around here, you know.
The actor who played the thief of the 71 Barracuda, by the way, that's a guy named Daniel Schweiger, who he's been I don't want to say an extra, but you know, a little bit higher than an extra in a lot of different films.
Never heard of her, but no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, right away I was like laughing when Reggie gets himself over and he's just like,
that's right, it's in the glove box.
Yeah, exactly. And he pulls out the fucking whatever, the Desert Eagle looking kind of gun and shit. And yeah, right away we get a ton of action. He fucking ends up running over that motherfucker because the spears come after him and everything like that. But we meet new characters in this film. We got what's his name, Chunk, dude. So we have a dwarf come back, and like he was one of those things.
I thought that was a good touch. I like that guy.
No, he was really funny. He was really entertaining. Hey, old man, or he calls him something, you know, some bullshit, Grandpa. He's like, hey, come on, Grandpa, hey, Baldy. Yeah, I love this character because, and it was funny because the first 30 minutes, I'm like, it just seems like, okay, the same old Phantasm film, you know, and I'm okay with it, but a lot more action than the other stuff. But it's like that 40-minute mark on forward. It's like that's where the good stuff's at for me. You meet Chunk and Jane, like, and then they have this kind of like Terminator 2 kind of, well, the way Terminator 1 begins where you have like that future of war and everything. Like, I like that, dude. They finally like got some shit going. The only problem was the effects and everything were so ridiculous. But when you're thinking that maybe Reggie's just dreaming about this or whatever, it's kind of like, okay, I mean, I guess that's okay if you're seeing it through that perspective, that it's just like somebody that's kind of got dementia. So that's probably how they would see some weird shit anyway. So I was kind of like trying to convince myself it was fine. But it is entertaining. It's just really annoying that fucking Reggie wakes up every fucking 10 minutes, it seems like, and he's like in an old folks home. So,
but you know what? You know what that did, though. And I don't know if either of y'all grew up watching Star Trek: Next Generation, but there would be an occasional episode like that where Picard would be in dual states of being. Like, on one hand, he'd be like walking around the Starship Enterprise, commanding and encountering, you know, his shipmates and all that stuff, but then he'd be like in some other planet or some other dimension. Or getting his balls broken by Q or something like that, you know? And this has that, like, Reggie is essentially Picard in those occasional episodes.
Chris always has a 90s show to reference about fucking any movie we watched. It's pretty funny.
I was a preteen and a teenager in the 90s. Of course I do.
Well, I mean, I watched all the 90s shit, too, but Chris is like, you guys ever seen X-Men, the character out.
It gets down to nut cutting time.
Yeah, and Angus Scrimm wasn't too much in this film, right? Now that I kind of like think about it, I mean, he was there, but he wasn't, well, I mean, do y'all think he was in the film a lot, or, I mean, is it about the same as the other films? Because, I mean, he's noticeably older in this film. I mean, he's damn near, what, 80 years old or so, whatever.
He was actually 87 at the time they filmed
Holy
it.
Shit, yeah, I was like,
honestly, in the other ones, he was a little more active.
Yeah,
he seemed to be a little more mobile in comparison to this one, where he was already. If you notice, like in some of the scenes where Reggie walks through those tuning forks again, and you know there's the tall man, but he's just standing there. And then there's another scene where they're showing a bunch of tall men, where he's explaining that there's tens of thousands and even more of him, but they're all just standing there. And you see a lot of the scenes where he's just standing there. He's not really.
Well, I'll do you one better. I don't know if anyone like really saw it, but because I watched the film so many times because I was so fucking confused. Towards the end, it's the scenes where Reggie kind of goes back in time and he like Mike's with him and Shorty's with him, and the tall man finally like makes an appearance in that like time or era, and you see him down the hall with his minions. It's a fucking CGI tall man. I started fucking laughing. I was like, man, because I kind of was telling myself, I was like, well, that makes, because I was like, oh, he looks cool. I was telling myself, like, the imagery, like, because from far away, you really can't tell, but it gets a little bit closer, and then I'm like, oh, yeah. They CGI'd the tall man, dude. I was like, what?
I thought that, too.
Yeah, I was like, and I kind of figured, I'm like, well, I'm sure, you know, Angus was, like, they used him very sparingly. Obviously, there's scenes where he's, like, in bed. Next to Reggie and shit like that, which I thought was pretty cool. It's kind of like, well, did Reggie just, you know, dream all this up because he was in an old folks home too with some other old man that that he sees as the like the fucking tall man. I thought that was a nice little twist and able to use you know, Angus's things that he was able to do and work it into the film. I thought it was pretty interesting. But
did you notice in the white room with black curtains at the state? No, I'm kidding. Did you notice in the white room where Reggie and the tall man are together, like, talking back and forth, like, and let's keep in mind, in this film, Reggie is 69 years old when they filmed this. Now, when they're talking
69! Billy Madison.
When they're talking in that big white room, and he's talking to the tall man, do you notice how wide open the tall man's eyes are? Versus, like, in every other film, even Part 4 in 98, he's always got a squintiness to his eyes.
Yeah, there was less squintiness in this one, for sure. He was probably, like, you know, he was probably just trying to remember his fucking lines and less, you know, doing his over face gimmicks. Because, like, he's still, even his talking, it was great, you know, but you could tell it was a little bit different cadence than what he was doing before and like the deepness, but it was still really, really good. And like he's definitely like the best actor in any of these films consistently and very believable, and even this one. But yeah, I noticed right away is like with that tall, when he's in that white room, like he looks a lot different from the other ones, you know what I mean? Like this is the one where he just, you could tell, you're like, man, poor Angus, man. He's keeping it together for the fans, man, you know. And I'm happy to see him, and he still did a fucking hell of a job, dude. I mean, he did a better job of playing the tall man that fucking Robert Englund did, you know, playing Freddy in Freddy's Dead and shit, you know. you know, fucking really gave his performance, he still gave a great performance and shit. But, yeah, I actually liked those scenes. He's in a white room and he's kind of like nice, you know, and he's giving Reggie these like ultimatums and offers, and then he comes back and it's like light, or like it's like lightning in the background, it's all dark now, and he's like, you know, why would you do this for some friends? And then Reggie's like, you would never understand me. Just like
loyalty.
Yeah.
Wasn't that interesting though, I don't know where this came from, and I guess I was kind of, and I guess this is like, this will probably pop up in my theory though, but did you, when he was having that conversation, he says your daughter and your wife, when he gave him that ultimatum, he says, I'll give you your daughter and your wife back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it, I was like, he wasn't married, he didn't have any daughter or wife, he was always talking about ice cream and, you know, hanging out with his best buddy and Mike, or searching for him. He never mentioned there anything ever happened to him, you know, for him to actually, all the women that he met either left or, you know, or they're dead. So, where did that come from? part of the theory that I have is pretty much that this Ravager, I believe, would be just like how Mike was explaining it. It's that whole multiverse theory. Like if you were watching like the Marvel comics or the DC universe, or even as Joey mentioned, you know, like even the Rick and Morty, you know, one dimension, what happens in this Earth happens into another one. They're all interconnected. But the way Mike is saying it, though, the way he explains it to Reggie, because Reggie snaps out of it and he's sitting there at this hospital and he's like freaking out. He's freaking out. He doesn't know where he's at. He's trying to get some explanation. But Mike is there. You know, and Mike's looking older, of course. But, I mean, that's Mike. That's the original Mike. That's pretty badass. They brought him back. So he's sitting there and he says, Mike. So he's telling him, he's already, you know, let me tell you, you're at this, what was it, like a hospital?
Yeah.
He's like, you're at a hospital. This is what's happening, that you have... You have dementia.
Yeah.
You have dementia. You just got it early on. You're fine. No. So what about this evil force? Do you know about it? You've told me about it, but the doctor told me to keep you engaged. So why don't you go ahead and just tell me all it? Tell me this whole story again. Oh, okay. And so then he starts going into an explanation. So he explains it, but then Mike says, hey, you know, this whole theory, like, that you were having, you know, there's this book that it explains that there's a whole multiverse, that there's multiple Earths. But what's cool about it is that the way he explains it, though, is that they're all toppled on top of each other. They're not like Spider-Man goes into another world and all of a sudden Spider-Man didn't become Spider-Man. Somebody else became Spider-Man. But he was still, he was a normal guy in another Earth. And this, on this one, the way they're explaining it is that everything is just toppled on top of each other. It's all happening, different things are happening, but they're all on top. So the way I kind of, I'm picturing or I'm thinking of it is that he's keeping like the same memories. He's keeping the same memories. He's keeping the whole idea, but his like, his consciousness, his subconsciousness or whatever is like traveling. It's jumping from Earth to Earth. The bodies are all different. The situations are all different, but his consciousness is just jumping, but they're all in the same, they're in the same bowl, and that's all the same Earth. Now that's one idea. There was another idea that I was reading on, but it's kind of boring, but it makes a lot of damn sense. But let's continue on before I go and explain that one.
Yeah. I didn't catch it on initially, like, you know, I talked about it. I was like, I remember like watching it the first time and like not being able to follow, not expecting this kind of film at all, and then the second time it was like the same thing. But this time I watched it very diligently, and I was kind of like, if I got distracted, I was like, how the fuck did this happen? This is one of those films you cannot get distracted because you're going to be in like a different time and a different like Reggie and a different Mike. And you're like, what the fuck's going on? But this time I, you know, like I said, I really watched it multiple times, and I like that Mike progressively becomes more aware throughout the film. And because like you had said in the beginning, he's kind of like, yeah, you told me to keep you engaged. The doctor told me to keep you engaged. And I have this book, and he's explaining to it. He's like, maybe I should just give you the book. I don't need your fucking book, Mike. And then, like, Reggie flashes back. And then I really like, because it kind of like, once you kind of like see that shit, like, he comes back again, I think, after he finds out Dawn dies. And that Demeter, like, gets the fucking spear in the head and all that. And he comes back again, and he's, like, in the wheelchair. And they're there talking again. And then Mike's like, you know, like, a little bit nicer, but still about the same. And then we see, like, Reggie see those poles, and he's like, I'm gonna cross over. And then we see, you know, the Reggie that we know is from the films, I would say, right? And they're both getting ready to cross over, and I was like, oh, it's like that, the dimensions, the way Mike was talking about, is that they're kind of like, they're crossing together. That's why he's so self-aware, is because he's like, he's able to keep his consciousness throughout these different dimensions, and he's able to, like, I guess the way Mike was able to move shit with his mind in part four, like, he's able to, like, visualize or like travel in his sleep or some kind of deal and relive those memories or you know, and it's not a dream to him. He's just kind of like being able to dream the dimensions that of his other lives or however you want to see it. Well, I thought it was really cool when he like crosses like the path. They both do it at the same time, and like he becomes even more advanced as far as being able to convince Mike, and then Mike, like I said, progressively becomes more aware to where you get like when he comes in like towards the end. I really liked it because he comes in towards the end and he's kind of like tells the nurse, he's like, can I get a minute? You know, he's kind of like more on Reggie's side, and they're like almost like if the nurses are watching what like what he's being told and shit. And he's all like, I had a dream about that tall man, you know, or I had a dream. And he's all like, but here's the thing. And he's like, it's exactly the way you had mentioned it, but it felt like I had a connection with him. And I love that it's like now Mike's kind of having that same where he's able to like subconsciously go into those other multiverses or realities, whatever they are, right, and kind of relive it like if it was like that Mike, but it was a different Mike. And like they continue off of part four where he's like, I just woke up, you know, or I just started walking in the desert, and I started laughing because I'm like, that motherfucker was like damn near dead, and Reggie was supposed to save him. And then, you know, sure enough, they continue it, like, and he's like what's it called, fixing that little bullshit on his head that the tall man, of course, that's always like a car that gets over and shit.
Yeah, the Mustang again?
I don't know what that was. I'm not outside, so I couldn't tell you. But it sounded like a lawnmower to me. But he's like, he's stitching up his fucking head. And I'm like, well, the tall man took the ball out of his head, so I don't know how that happened. But anyway, right? And it's like the rustiest fucking like needle he could find in that old house. But I'll forgive all that shit. But he's there like talking about how he's like, well, I went to the future, and then like they start warping back and forth where like it's just crazy and cool at the same time, and it's confusing. But like, and then Mike comes back again, and then he's like we gotta get you out of here, instead of like explaining to him like, hey, I had that dream. Or it's just like Mike's progressively becoming like Reggie now, that like he's aware that this isn't our reality, or you know what I mean, something like that, which is really cool. So I at first I was like really confused on what the fuck. I mean, I'm still confused, but at least I liked it a little bit better this time around than I did the first time. But I'd like to hear the other theory that you were talking about, dude, now that we talked about how over Mike is and shit.
Well, the other theory, and like I said, it's kind of boring, but it makes a lot of sense about it. Pretty much like the deal with this is that the whole thing is exactly like the way the title of the movie is, Phantasm. You know what? And the definition for Phantasm, it says it's like a hallucination. It's an imagination, the whole thing. They ended up saying that Reggie had dementia. So pretty much ever since the beginning, he's been hallucinating. He's been having these dreams. It's pretty much everything that's happened in all these movies is just all been in his head. The only times that it's actually been real was him when he, remember in Ravager Part 5, remember he was on his deathbed? Remember, yeah. He was on his deathbed. That was like a real moment when Mike and Jody were right there next to his hands. And whenever he would drift off and he saw, I'm looking for Mike, I'm looking for Jody, you know, I'm looking for them. Well, it's not that, you know, they were taken by the tall man or anything. They have jobs, they have lives, they're doing other things. They can't be visiting him in his hospital or his nursing home, wherever he was at. They couldn't be visiting him all the time. That was when the dementia was kicking in. So all of a sudden he starts hallucinating. He starts like thinking like, oh my God, I gotta find them. They're being chased after, blah blah blah. All of a sudden here comes visiting hours. Yeah, you can visit Reggie. He's freaking out over there. He's sitting down on a chair, you know, freaking out. Oh, okay, I'll go and engage him, you know, just like the doctor said, you know. Hey, Reg, what's going on? where am I? What's going on? You know, he's confused all of a sudden. The whole time. So remember the part also, and it also kind of makes sense. Remember it showed him, he fell down to the ground and the nurses went to help him. The doctor came out and he says, what are y'all doing? How do you get this far? How do you get outside? We don't know. We don't know what's going on. Oh, well, we're going to have to bring him back in. But he gets up and he starts wandering and he sees Mike on the other side of this. It looks like a portal. And it shows Mike in this whole other universe where it's like the apocalypse, like, you know, the end of the world. That's the world that the tall man took over. And all of a sudden, Reggie's like, Mike, is that really you? He's like, yep.
Yeah.
He says, like, yep.
He throws him the shotgun, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he throws him the shotgun, and he turns around, and he blasts all of a sudden. It's not the nurses. It's not the doctors. He's shooting those...
the gimmick,
you know,
mask.
The henchman of the tall man. Well, then you realize, like, oh, well, what happened to the nurse? What happened to the doctor? He's not changing back and forth. He's not changing back and forth between dimensions. He's just, again, it's the damn name of the movie, which it has been the whole damn time. It's Phantasm. He's hallucinating. The whole movie series has been nothing more than a dementia.
Yes.
And it's sad and it's boring, but I would like to go with the whole multiverse thing. I mean, that sounds more interesting and opens way more doors, but yeah, it's just sad now, and now it's just like, oh, wow, not
Gabe,
good.
That's kind of where I landed on. It's kind of the dual possibility theory where it's either this whole thing wasn't on Mike, and all this time we thought it was on Mike. It's either Reggie's been hallucinating this whole time and now it's come to its final culmination, or there really is this multiverse, multi-dimension thing going on where in one universe Reggie is this nursing home hospital patient with dementia, yet simultaneously there's another universe, alternate universe, where he's this badass ex-ice cream vendor turned, you know, fucking Green Beret, fucking fighting alongside Mike and this midget and Rocky and all these other people against another alternate universe where the tall man has taken over, you know? Like, I mean, either way, because I'm fine with either way, because either way it ends babyface, either way it ends fans go home happy, which is Mike, Reggie, and Jody together.
Right. And honestly, I think that's like the, for those people, and I'm one of those people, that want some closure on this, I'm all right with it. I don't care how bad or of a cheesy ending it is. That made me happy. I was just like, you know, they're all together. They left, and what was their excuse? They said, well, we're all together now. We're going to go ahead up north. We're going to fight them the smart way. We're going to a different way, you know, some way. He hates the cold. We're going to go that way. And he's there sitting in the back, and he's like, he's tired, man. He's doesn't want to deal with this shit anymore. He's exhausted. But then it goes back to all three of them together, you know, in the hospital, and they're holding hands, and you just see him. He's tired. He's already, it's that time for him to go. So, but then but the extra tidbit that was actually pretty neat is that it goes a little past the credits. You actually get to see Rocky come back and she don't have that terrible flat top. She actually has like some dreads or something going on. So I like that. And she does look, I have to agree with Joe that she does look a lot prettier now, in that scene compared to like the old one where I kind of felt like she was more strong. She was like more of a stronger woman. And
strong woman. You ever seen South Park and shit? Strong woman. Oh my god. Yeah, no, I thought that was great because they had the credits go for a little bit, and I was like, I wonder if Chris's ass just cut it off right there, because it takes like a good 20-30 seconds and then it kicks in. And then yeah, the fucking Chung comes out of the portal because he like rips off grenades and he runs into the tall man, and then he comes out of the portal. And, like, he's missing, like, his hand or something. And, yeah, that's pretty funny. But, yeah, they go there and they pull up and it's the fucking Cuda. And it's Reggie's in the back, right? And they don't show who's driving it, right? Am I right about that?
They do. No, Jody was the driver.
Oh, Jody was the... Where the fuck was Mike in the front seat? There's not enough room for that.
Mike's in the front seat, Jody was the driver's seat, and Reggie's in the back, and then they pick up at the very end, like... So they fake people out, and I watched this last night, so no, I didn't cut it off early, no. Because I knew they were starting the credits early. I was like, there's got to be, like, the way they do Avengers, where they go through the whole credits, and then the very end there's something. I knew that's what they did, and I was right.
It's Nancy in the tall man outfit, dude.
Yeah, and so exactly, and so the thing is, like, and that's funny because Nancy's only 4'10", but anyway, I knew they were gonna throw us like that, and so they picked so Rocky and
the swerve, bro.
Yeah, swerve, bro. So they pick up Rocky and the midget, and then fucking the midget's trying to hold her breast and shit, and they get in the car too, and I'm like, okay, so in this other alternate universe that may or may not exist, or maybe it's a figment of. Reggie's imagination, as you know, the movie is called Phantasm. You know, they're picking up like five people in this little ass sports car, you know?
But yeah, I agree. Like what you were saying, Gabe, is like it's not as interest. Well, it's interesting for sure, but it's sad, and it's not the idea that I kind of want to go with. It's like, yeah, it's like, does he have dementia? You know, and it's the one that makes the most sense because it's like, well, I mean, the first film, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and then the second film doesn't make, and it just keeps going that way, and it keeps getting stranger to where it's like, well, yeah, I mean. Why would all this weird shit just be happening unless it was just not a dream, but, I mean, just him going crazy. And, yeah, he's looking for Mike and Jody, and then all of a sudden Jody's alive now. And I love that, like, we don't see Jody the whole film, and then, like, yeah, the CUDA pulls up, and it's fucking Jody, and he's there. And he's like, come on in, Reg, you know. And even, like, I liked that whole idea because it's pretty funny because at first I was like, what the fuck's going on when he meets Dawn and he's there like, I'm going to sing you, I'm going to make a song for you. And he's singing, like, sitting here at midnight, but it's, like, a different version. It's the Reggie dementia version. And I was just kind of like, that's a pretty cool little twist, you know.
It's the same melody but different lyrics.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought that was cool. And, I mean, it only makes sense that it is him going crazy because it's, like, that would only explain why he meets so many different chicks and all this shit's happening. And it's like he's always got the same kind of shit. It's just happening with different, you know, ladies or whatever and all that. So
that's the only thing that can really make sense to me, too. Because like you said, coming from part one all the way up to now, there's too many weird and oddball parts that just leaves you confused. And a lot of it, the only thing you can really chalk it up to is that he has, like, a great imagination for all this. You know, he's just
He died in the first one, so it's like, well, it has to be all just a hallucination, because he dies, and then he tells Mike, oh, it was just a dream. And
yeah,
it's like, but then also, too, I have to go with the dimension thing also, too, because it's like, well, maybe Mike was, you know, had that version is that all that happened, Reggie actually did die. And Jody and him did beat the tall man, but in a different dimension that Mike remembers is that Reggie didn't die. Well, but even then, you're like, well, how come Mike be telling, you know, Reggie the story about what just happened in part one, and he gets stabbed, but Reggie's there still, and it's just kind of like, well, maybe it could be the multiverse kind of deal where different scenarios happen different ways, and there's like all these endless possibilities. Watching Rick and Morty, you know, and loving that series, like this makes a lot of sense now too. Like back then I never watched, I mean, Rick and Morty in 2016. Now I watch it all the time, so it's kind of like I kind of go with it, you know. When Rick's a fucking hornet in one dimension and he's a fucking shrimp in another dimension, it's like, okay, well, I can buy that one dimension. Reggie does die in the first one, and then Reggie you know, actually does do all this, and then there's a dimension where Reggie does have dementia, but he's kind of like, you know, it, so I'm okay with either of them, but yeah, I mean, old costume.
I mean, honestly, how would you go about if you're at a horror convention, you're standing there to another diehard fan, and they go ahead and explain to you, they explain to you their reasoning. They're like, my whole reasoning is the multiverse theory. Like, could you really argue with them saying, no, it's really the other one? Or would you just kind of agree with them on the spot?
I really couldn't argue with them, because to me it's like, where did that fucking window come from?
That's dementia right there.
Okay, never mind.
What window?
Yeah, it's like, you know, and... but it's also, you could say either way, because you have a different mic in one dimension. You know, Mike's played by James LaGrosse, dude, you know, and it's just, you know, I think the one that I don't want to go with, but it seems more likely is, yeah, Reggie just kind of went crazy, and he's just kind of like you said, looking for his friends, but, you know, he thinks that, you know, that they died, and they did, and he's trying to save Mike, and he's been watching Mike, and then the tall man, because it's like, well, who's this tall man? What's this tall man? And, like, there's no really explanation for why he's doing what he's doing, because they talk about that he's shrinking everyone down, sending them to this planet to be slaves, but why? We never hear that. It just doesn't make any sense. It's just kind of like, yeah, it sounds like someone that's just, you know, got dementia, and they're just hallucinating all kinds of weird shit, you know? So, there's not much you could argue for the dimension thing. It's nice because it's like, well, yeah, that's why the tall man always comes back. But then you're like, well, that's also why he's kind of going crazy too. It's just, you know, in his mind, he's thinking that, yeah, that's just nonstop, you know, coming after Chris. Man, well, yeah. Man, I got a fucking NASCAR track over here tonight. I tell you what, Chris, hello.
I'm here, and I mean, this thing is like, I mean, if you're gonna really sit there and argue that, I mean, that's like it's like arguing, like, theology. It's like
I swear, Chris did the Undertaker, like, sit up right now.
The coffin opened up.
Arguing that. I mean, when you really don't know, it's like a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Jew, all these religions arguing theology.
They walk into a bar. I thought I was going to hear a joke and shit, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I mean, not even counting this film, right? You know, because that's already, like, ridiculous. But let's just count the first one. What you know, can you, you know, without knowing any of these other ones, like, what would you say? You would be, like, confused, too. You're like, well, Reggie died, but Mike's telling him that this happened. So it must have not happened because Reggie died in that dream. But then we see the tall man push him through, you know, take him out through the window, you know, through the mirror, you know. So it's kind of like, well, I mean, back then it was only Mike's perspective. But I mean, now that we have part five, I think they took that and said, well, Reggie's the one just thinking about all that shit, you know. So, but when, if you just take the first film from what it is, it's like, well, that one's a real trip. I enjoyed that one, you know, the most, just because there's not a lot of answers, and that's probably for the better. You know, there's a lot more questions than answers, and you just have more. It's endless possibilities, you know. And the Chris,
I guess it's left up to the interpretation of whatever you want to, I guess, make up in your head.
Yeah, it's like the ending of Freddy, you know, from Nightmare on Elm Street, where she's like, "Oh, it was just a dream," and then, like, Freddy rips the mom through the window and shit.
Well, the way they actually gave that one, too. Remember, they came out with Wes Craven's A New Nightmare? So basically making it the whole Nightmare on Elm Street series, just make it seem like it was nothing more than just a movie. And then
fucking exposing the fucking business.
Exposing the fucking business. Yeah, exactly, dude. Yeah,
Can I just tell you...
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Can I just tell you... More than this whole "what's the explanation of it" thing, in the debate on that, that doesn't bother me so much, because I really don't care. Like, in any explanations from me, I enjoyed the movie no matter what, either way. But what bothers me more than anything, this fucking chick in the mausoleum, and like, you know, she's standing on her, on the balls of her feet, her ankles are pointed up, mm-hmm. and she's on that track, and there's so many fucking movies where like they use that motorized track to move someone's body across the floor to give it more like, you know, powerful feel or whatever, and like the George C. Scott Christmas Carol does that with the fucking the Ghost of Christmas Future and shit. I hate that. I fucking hate that. I always have hated that. It was so blatantly obvious it was a mechanized track in the 1984 Christmas Carol movie, and now they're using it on this fucking chick in a 2016 movie. That bothers me to no end.
Yeah, Kathy Lester came back, dude, as the Lady in Lavender, dude. So she came back finally for the first time since the first one, and she looks great, man. She's like in her like what 50s or 60s, whatever the fuck old she is. And I was like, man, dude, that's the up and down. But yeah, it was cool to see her back. As a Lady in Lavender, man, she was great in the first one.
I really enjoyed that part. Like I don't know if you saw that, but after. After Reggie ended up shooting her ass, you know, she went down. If you notice, like, throughout all the other movies, every single one of those drones, you know, these zombie-like henchmen of the Tall Man, they're all spewing out, like, the yellow garbage, yellow blood and all that. If you look at hers was actually red and yellow.
Yeah,
it was like a mixture of both.
Oh, wow, I
thought
that
was neat.
Yeah.
Joe, I told you that the other night. I said she bled Hulkamania.
Now I get the joke, Chris. But okay, she bled Hulkamania. she was running wild for sure. Yeah, I thought it was cool. She's going up to Reggie, like to kiss him, and then like she just screams in his face, and like she's got like the effects on her, like pretty frightening. Seeing her like face, you know, warp into some, you know, looking like my ex-wife, dude. I was like, oh shit, you know. So. Anyway,
getting flashbacks.
Yeah, I was like, oh god, protect the TV at all costs, right, Chris?
protect the internet.
Anyway, man, Chris, what do you rate this bad boy and your overall thoughts on Phantasm 5, dude?
I'm gonna give this an 8.5. It gives some closure to it. It leaves you with some interesting theories, but you don't know 100% for sure. It has a more serious feel than Part 3 did. It has a more logical trajectory than Part 4 did. It didn't just, you know, fucking, you know, blue ball you, mind fuck you the way Part 4 did, like, for no reason. And I popped, of course, for the three friends from the very beginning in Part 1, ending up together again in two different scenarios. So whichever scenario is true, they're all together no matter what. So I'm going to fucking give this a fucking 8.5.
Jesus, man. Chris is a Revenger fan. I wasn't expecting that one. Now for me, I'm going to go first because I don't want Gabe to think I'm copying him on every Phantasm ranking and shit. So that's why I'm going next. But I liked it better than part 4. So, I mean, that's – what did I give part 4? A 5? You're right? 5 out of 10?
Got it.
And I gave part 3 a 7. I would have to give this one like a 6, dude. I would say it's not as good as 3. I would definitely watch 3 more than this one. I definitely will watch this one more than 4. But, yeah, 6 out of 10. It's the effects. I mean, if I had to, like, you know, hey, Joe, can you tell me about Phantasm Ravager? I'm like, well, only watch it if you're a real fan of the Phantasm franchise, because you're not going to care. It's not one of those, like, you can, like, watch 3 and not know anything about, you know, Phantasm and enjoy it. 4, definitely not. 5, definitely not. But it's a lot more fun than 4. The effects, for the most part, pretty crappy. The Tall Man's, I mean, he's still good, but he's not as good as he used to be in the other films, you know. I enjoy Chunk. I liked a lot of the nods. I'm glad they made it, just because it, like, we wanted some kind of closure, and you know what? It was okay. Kind of a letdown, only because I wanted to see Reggie go through that portal and kill the Tall Man and save Mike and all this shit, and that never happened. We just kind of got, oh, Reggie's got dementia. But it was still fun. Not amazing, but yeah, 6 out of 10 for me. Gabe, Nancy.
I'm going to go with at least like a 7. I'm going to go with a 7 on this one. It wasn't the worst, and it wasn't exactly the best. I kind of felt I had to work a little more harder and put a little more thought into understanding what the hell was going on. Though the past ones, I also questioned on many things, especially about that random window for part three, you know. But seriously, like, on part five, though, I mentioned it before, and I used that word spaghetti because I really felt it was mixed up. Because when I first went into it, I was expecting, like, okay, I'm looking for the closure parts. I'm looking for all the answers that I've had all the questions for since part one through four. And some of that I still didn't even get. We didn't get more or less like what the tall man really was. But like I said, the only closure part that I really got out of it was that it was dementia. But, I mean, you can go with the whole multiverse theory and just kind of, I guess you can leave it up to your own interpretation, whatever you want. I would honestly I would stick with just one and two. Three, yeah. If someone talked me into it saying, come on, let's just watch three just to see what happens. All right, fine. Four, I have to be like,
I'm good, dude. You would do that one.
I'm kind of good, you know. I'd rather have another beer and watch something else or something than watch part four. Part five, shit. Well, you made me watch four. I might as well go for five and just, why not, right? Yeah. So, if you're a horror buff, you need to watch these movies. You want to have this in your collection or something. Go through the one through five. Feel free to be disappointed by four and five, I guess, but...
Yeah.
One, two, definitely great. Three, tolerate it. Yeah. And suffer with the rest.
Yeah. Yeah, the only consistent is, you know, Angus. And in this film, he's not there a lot. He's there a little bit, but he's 80-something years old, like we're saying. I mean, come on, man. You know, Robert Englund can't even be Freddy, you know, in his late 30s, early 40s compared to being a younger Freddy, you know, just a few years before. And Angus Scrimm kicks a lot of ass. He's always, you know, 100% invested in his role. So I you know, love the first three. I mean, threes, like you said, it's a big drop. But the first two, at least, I mean, I'll watch them, like, you know, anytime. They're fun films, you know. But yeah, after that, kind of like, doing that old Chris.
Can I say this about Angus Scrimm? Is, first of all, this movie was released. It finally got released in theaters and on digital streaming platform 9 months after Angus Scrimm died. And Angus Scrimm died January the 9th, 2016. He was 89 years old. And they filmed this literally about 18 to 20 months earlier. So he would have been 87 at that time. And Angus Scrimm is a classically trained actor. He was a poor farmer boy from Kansas. Worked his way up, got to college, got to acting school. Classically trained actor, no different than George C. Scott, no different than Patrick Stewart, etc., etc., etc.
Patrick Stewart.
A true professional in the truest sense of the word. God bless him.
God bless us all, man. But them Von Erichs. Yeah, so no, I had a lot of fun watching this series. It was a little tough when 4 came around, even though that was one that I remember liking a lot as a kid. Times have changed, man. You get a little bit older, you get a little less patient with films. You're like, nope. So I hope you guys enjoyed this one, and hopefully we'll be doing another series pretty soon with the old J-Man before he goes off on that honeymoon, get a few squirts there, right, Chris? And then I wink at you, Chris.
Wink back.
Weak back, man. But that tall man.